PR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. It's shaping up to be a wet holiday weekend in the southeast.
We're expecting potential rainfall of 3 to 6 inches over the area near the storm track.
Jack Bevin at the National Hurricane Center in Miami. Forecasters now say the subtropical storm called Beryl is moving faster, and forecasters say it should make landfall tonight. Tropical storm warnings are in effect for the entire Georgia coastline, as well as parts of Florida and South Carolina. One official in the region says it will probably amount to a 3-day thunderstorm. Memorial Day marks the beginning of the summer driving season, and for much of the country this year, gasoline is selling for less than it did last year. NPR's Jeff Brady reports the national average for regular gas is 15 cents a gallon cheaper.
You can thank falling oil prices for that. A barrel of oil is selling for $20 less than it did in mid-March. For gasoline prices, one exception in the U.S. is the West Coast, where refinery issues have pushed gasoline prices in California up 20 cents a gallon over last year. The U.S. Energy Information Administration makes regular forecasts for gasoline prices. Earlier this month, the agency predicted regular gas this summer will average just under $3.80 a gallon. That's about 15 cents higher than the current price. And next year, the agency is forecasting gas prices slightly lower than this year. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
The Syrian government is denying its troops were behind this weekend's attack that left more than 90 civilians dead. Syria's foreign minister says Damascus is being subjected to a tsunami of lies. The attacks have sparked international outrage. In Afghanistan, NATO says it's investigating claims that one of its airstrikes killed at least 7 members of a family in the eastern part of the country. Local officials say the dead include at least 6 children. Civilian casualties, a major source of friction between NATO and Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Also, NATO says 4 of its service members have been killed this weekend in separate roadside bomb attacks. Immigrant rights groups are planning to march in Alabama today to protest that state's immigration law. It's considered one of the toughest crackdowns on illegal immigration in the country, as NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
The Alabama Coalition for Immigrant Justice is coordinating the march in Montgomery, Alabama's capital city. Protesters will march from the state capitol to the governor's mansion with the message, One Family, One Alabama. The demonstration comes after the legislature and Governor Robert Bentley approved some changes to the immigration law, but largely left intact controversial provisions, including one that requires schools to document the immigration status of students and their parents. That part of the law has already been struck down by a federal appeals court. Legal challenges to other sections of Alabama's immigration law are still pending before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
And this is NPR News from Washington. A lot of attention is being focused on the wildfire that's burning out of control in New Mexico's Gila National Forest. Officials say strong winds are making it difficult for crews to get a handle on it. Weather conditions are also causing trouble for crews fighting fires in other states. Dean Wilson is a spokesman for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. He says gusts are fueling the Duck Lake fire in the Upper Peninsula to a length of more than 10 miles.
It's a classic wind-driven fire, which this is a normal pattern for a wind-driven fire. And if you look at the map, you can see at the very south is the point of origin that was driven right to the shore of Lake Superior.
Wind-driven fires are also burning in Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, and Utah. Today marks 50 years since an underground fire started burning in Centralia, Pennsylvania. Fire officials gave up on putting it out decades ago, as member station WITF's Scott Detrow reports.
The fire began at the town's landfill, but spread and ignited an exposed coal seam. It made its way underground, where it's been burning and burning and burning, fueled by thousands of tons of anthracite coal. Sinkholes started appearing in the early 1980s. That's when the federal government began relocating Centralia's residents. The town has all but disappeared. In fact, the post office revoked its zip code 10 years ago, but a handful of residents remain. They're fighting state and federal eviction efforts and don't want to leave, despite Centralia's buckling roads and collapsed buildings. The Centralia fire will likely have many more anniversaries to come. Experts say there's enough coal underground to keep the flames lit for another 2 centuries.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.